Well, brethren, the days of unleavened bread are behind us, and we're now on the count towards Pentecost. And today is day 7 of our 50-day march to the next holy day. Now, this year, keeping the spring holy days was, of course, different than it has been in the past, as we were forced to keep them by ourselves in our homes. Living through this COVID-19 pandemic these last weeks has given us a very different Holy Day experience that hopefully was very meaningful, though, in a unique way. But for the world in general, this has been a very stressful time. A number have become sick with the COVID-19 virus, even some within the United Church of God. You know, at least one member of United has died from the virus. You know, many people around the world are forced to stay at home at this time. A great many in the United States, perhaps 30% or more, have lost their jobs. You know, some are still going to work and potentially being exposed to the virus. You know, I work at a local hospital myself, and I still go to work 4 to 5 days a week. But I look around, and I see that there are a lot of worried people out there. You know, the news media seems to be spreading the fear frenzy. Even the Drudge Report news site seems to promote the worst-case scenarios in the news that they choose to link to. There are a lot of people out there that are living in fear. And if we're not careful, this fear can also affect you and I. It can fill our minds if we don't guard against it. But it is something that should not be in the mind of someone who has been given the Spirit of God. We should not be afraid of what's going on around us. And today I hope to provide an antidote to the fear and the paranoia that is affecting a number of people. And so the title of my message today is A Peace That Surpasses All Understanding. A Peace That Surpasses All Understanding. So what do we do when we're in a situation that we really have no control over? You know, when it may seem that our world around us is falling apart, whether it be because of the virus or maybe because of a huge trial in our personal lives. In the Church of God, events like COVID-19 should not surprise us in the least. And we're going to see far worse than this before it's all said and done. How should we react to these situations? Let's begin in 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll start off in 1 Peter 5. You know, in any situation that comes along, we do our part, and then we are to have faith that God will work everything else out according to His will and His plan. We control the controllable, and then we leave the rest in God's hands. Let's read here 1 Peter 5, and we'll begin in verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." Why? "Well, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." So humbly put yourself and your cares, your worries, your anxieties in God's hands. And give God the opportunity to exalt you in due time. You know, to be exalted here, it means that God will lift us up. He'll bring us out of our situation. Now, what we don't know, though, is when that due time will be. You know, it could be in this life, or it could be in the next. But we do know for sure that if we humbly cast our worries and our cares into God's hands, then God will absolutely exalt us. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. You know, there are So many scriptures that show how God provides for and takes care of us, but also show they also show that we have a part to play. And so we'll look at a few scriptures here so we can be encouraged by them. Proverbs chapter 3 is one of my all-time favorites, and we'll read verses 5 through 8. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 5, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him." You know, in other words, focus on God, even in your situation. Keep the focus on God. "And he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." In verse 8, "It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Now, these verses definitely pack in a lot. You know, we are to look to God. We trust in him with all our heart. And we don't try to fix things apart from him. You know, we do what we can. We do what's in our control, within our grasp. But then we have to just let it go, let the rest go, and trust in God for the rest. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 14. You know, we may find ourselves suddenly in the midst of a situation that there just seems to be no way out. You know, that's what the Israelites must have felt like at this point in Exodus 14. They had journeyed out of Egypt. They were at the Red Sea. They were closed in by the water, by the mountains, by the armies of Egypt as well. They were in fear of their lives. And they had started voicing their fear both to God and to Moses. So Exodus chapter 14, we'll pick it up here in verse 13. Exodus 14, verse 13. "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.'" And as we are reading these accounts of God's promises, and then later as we read also about the peace of God, we notice that these are often accompanied by us having to do something first, us taking action. You know, stand still, trust, lean, acknowledge, as we read in Proverbs 3, humbling ourselves. We read that earlier. Yes, God will never leave us, never forsake us. But these are also conditional promises. Let's look next at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. These are such encouraging scriptures for us to consider while we are in the midst of difficult times, knowing that the supreme being of the universe has our back, and that we can be bold in our surety of this. Hebrews 13, read verses 5 and 6, where it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness." Ah, more requirements of us. "Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" You know, there's a certain calmness and peace when we're faced with a situation that we can't control and we just leave ourselves in God's hands. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians 4, the Apostle Paul describes the peace that we can have from this process. Philippians chapter 4. Here in Philippians 4, I want to read these familiar verses from the New Living Translation today. Philippians 4 will begin in verse 11. Again, the Apostle Paul writing says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. And sometimes we think that our burdens are greater than what we can bear. Sometimes we can really be feeling down. What was Paul doing when he wrote this letter to the Philippians? Well, he was in a Roman prison. And Paul was sitting in prison. Was he sitting there in prison, worried about his life and worried about what was going to happen to him? Well, no. Instead, he was writing prison epistles like this one. He was doing something productive, serving God's people. It's important to note in the context of Paul's letter because it makes it all the more remarkable that Paul could actually experience this peace. To read Philippians from the lens of Paul writing this in prison, and we read it that way, it gives a whole new meaning. Verses 6 and 7, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, shows us that, like Paul, we can have peace with whatever situation we're in. Philippians 4, verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And when we begin to feel worried or anxious, go right to God. Let him know what's going on. Make your requests and appeals to him with thanksgiving. Going on, it says, and thank him for all he has done. And we get our focus off of ourself and focus on God and how God has blessed us. And again, you see the result. Verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. This is incredible to think about. When we pray to God and we leave our petitions before his throne, and then no matter how the situation ultimately turns out physically, we can still attain the peace of God. Sometimes when we're praying to God about our troubles, a godly peace may not come right away. If it doesn't, keep praying. Continue to ask, seek, knock, and it will be given unto you. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And sometimes we could be praying for a while, minutes or even hours, and then suddenly we'll discover that we're at peace. That peace of God has come over us, and it does often come suddenly. It doesn't make sense that such peace could exist, in all the problems and troubles that we go through. It doesn't make sense to have peace when you're in a terrible trial. But this divine supernatural peace is a fruit of God's Holy Spirit. And it's something that cannot be figured out on a carnal level. But as God's called out ones, you and I can have the peace of God now in our lives. And if we submit to this peace, our minds, our hearts become guarded by God. And our mindset begins to change. Verse 8 then says more about what we must do. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You and I are never truly going to find godly peace until we change the way that we think. We must change our mindset. You know, some of you out there, we know, live all alone. You're out there, you live by yourself. And it can be very difficult to be under a stay-at-home order when you are by yourself. I was talking to Lee Stolle on the phone yesterday, and while he acknowledges that, it is difficult to be by yourself and, to try to find things to do day after day after day, when I talked to him, I could sense the peace, though, that he had with the situation. It is a great feeling, wonderful feeling to find that peace in our trials and our circumstances. And when you experience that, it is a wonderful blessing. The peace of knowing that God is in control and that we are the clay in his hands. That whatever happens, we will be exalted. And everything will ultimately be okay if we stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God has given us a future and a hope that we can't even fathom now. Let's go a page or two over, Colossians chapter 3. The mindset of having God's peace with us is something that should be dominant in our lives. It rules us. Colossians 3, verse 15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." The Greek word for rule here means to govern or prevail. There's no room in this godly heart for us to be feeling sorry for ourselves. God gives us his peace. He offers us his peace. But as the verse says, we have to let it rule our hearts. I'll just quote Psalm 119, verse 165, which says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." God's peace does stabilize us. It keeps us from stumbling away from God. And it is the opposite of the worry and the anxiety which is fed to us by the devil. And so we've seen just some of the evidence of God yearning to give his peace to us, that he is there to take care of us. Again, just because he is ready and able to do it does not absolve us from our responsibilities. We still need to control the controllable. Another way to do that is to follow the example of the ant found in Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. Proverbs 6 shows that we must be preparing ourselves, and we must keep our lamps full of oil. We must be preparing ourselves, both physically and spiritually, for whatever may come our way. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. Where it says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." The ant works to store up food and supplies for a later time, for when they're needed. As opposed to the sluggard, verse 9, "How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And the result? So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." And we still reap what we sow. That principle has not gone away in this pandemic. And we can often prepare ahead of time so that it is so much easier to have peace in our difficulties. Financial planners recommend an emergency savings fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses. Just like that ant provides for her supplies in the summer. And I feel it safe to say that those who did that are right now generally less anxious than those who didn't. Those who have some food stored are generally less anxious than those who don't. Those who have their stock of toilet paper, I won't get into that. You know, it's already been shown that those who eat healthy, exercise, are not overweight, get enough sleep, and take care of themselves are less susceptible to this virus than those who don't do those things. You know, there was an article just today I saw out on Drudge Report called "Regular Exercise Can Protect Against Deadly Coronavirus Complications," study says. And we can and we should do those things that we're able to. But in the other areas that we can't control, there is still the opportunity for us to have that godly peace, the godly peace that surpasses all understanding. The day of Pentecost pictures the giving of God's Holy Spirit to those first fruits whom God has chosen to call at this time. It is God's very essence given to us, and it should be bearing certain fruit from us. We won't turn there, but I'll just quote a familiar scripture found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22, which says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Being worried or anxious does not reflect the mindset of the Holy Spirit that we should have in us. They are just not compatible. Being worried actually pushes out God's mind. John chapter 14, John 14 describes the Holy Spirit in us and how we need to allow it to play a big part of our outlook in life. We'll see John 14. This is just hours or maybe even minutes before Jesus Christ is betrayed. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 26. John 14, 26, where it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." You think about how God has placed a part of his very mind in us. And there's no room in that mind to be consumed by things that we can't change. The mind of God is a loving mind, a joyful mind, a peaceful mind. And those things are transferred to us as we allow God's mind to come into us, to work within us. Verse 27, Jesus goes on, "Peace I leave with you." We won't go there, but a few chapters later in John 20, after his resurrection, Jesus actually said this phrase, "Peace to you," or "Peace be with you." He said that to his disciples three different times in John 20. But so here again, in verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The real peace that Christ offers us is genuine and does surpass all understanding. It's not a normal thing to have. True peace does not come from the world around us. Not as the world gives, do I give you. It's a fruit of God's mind working in us. Jesus also said just before his crucifixion in John 16, verse 33, John 16, 33 said, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, most people today don't and can't understand godly peace. A limiting human definition is that peace is the absence of war. But godly peace is more than just not being at war. The biblical concept of peace does not focus on the absence of war, strife, or trouble. Biblical peace is unrelated to the circumstances of life. And we may be in the midst of great trials, but still have godly peace. I'll just quote Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. Romans 8, verse 6, which says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Godly peace comes with allowing part of God's mind to be placed within us. Again, after we do our part. Now, I mentioned earlier that I work for a hospital. I do IT work there, so fortunately, I'm not directly involved in patient care. But right now, I try to avoid walking the halls of the hospital as much as I can. But when I do have to, I do wear a mask. In 2009, I was diagnosed with the H1N1 virus. Ironically, I didn't catch it at work, but caught it at the feast. And for 2 solid weeks, I was the sickest that I had been in my whole entire life. I even lost 15 pounds that I didn't even know I had to lose. So as I think about the present, as I think about the here and now, I don't go to work in fear. My heart is not troubled. I still take precautions, still try to be careful. I still do my part as best I can. Then, after that, I try to leave the rest up to God, and then He grants me that peace. Brethren, we can't live our lives in fear. If things are going to get a lot worse in this world than what we are seeing now, if not in the immediate weeks and months, at some point. But nowhere in the Bible does it say to live in fear, but instead, we are to be not afraid. God's peace helps us to overcome our fears. The Holy Spirit gives us a peace of mind. But we must continually ask for it. We must seek peace and pursue it. We must stir it up. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy 1, Paul is teaching his apprentice Timothy. And Paul tells Timothy here in 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. He says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, maybe you're a teen and you're concerned whether you're going to be going to camp or not this summer. Maybe you're a graduating college student and you don't know how long it might take to land your first postgraduate job. Don't worry about it. Work hard, do what you can, always do your part, but then stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, I find that if something doesn't go according to my plan, generally, it's because God has a better plan for me. And it's amazing how that has worked out time and time again. The Apostle Paul's writings are full of expressions of wishing the brethren peace. He, of all people, knew where true peace comes from. He had to. to get through everything that he experienced. The expression, "grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," was written by Paul at the beginning of every single one of his epistles. If you look at each one, usually somewhere in the first few verses, this whole expression again, "grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ," is used. And the only exception is the book of Hebrews, where this expression is not used, which is one of the reasons why there's a question as to whether Paul was the author of Hebrews or not. But not only in the beginning and in the middle, as we've already read, but Paul also ended a number of his epistles by reiterating that God is a God of peace and that he also wished the brethren peace. And I'll quickly quote several of them for you to jot down if you'd like. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Romans 16, verse 20, it says, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." In Galatians 6, verse 16, Paul writes, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them." In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23, Paul wishes peace to those brethren from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, says, Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." And so if we want to have peace, then we need to continually live in peace. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And it's definitely a trend here how Paul ended his epistles. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16. "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all." Peace in every way. It can be ours. It is what we should end up with when all is said and done. Even the book of Hebrews ends with a declaration of peace. Let's actually turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. We'll read verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, verse 20. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will." And we still have to be doing the will of God. "Working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." We may think that we have it rough now, but if you look at the Apostle Paul and all the sufferings that he went through, you know, he couldn't have survived without having the peace of God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And Paul was so good, at keeping everything in its proper perspective. That's because Paul had an eternal mindset, not a physical one. As demonstrated here, 2 Corinthians 4, we'll read beginning in verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." You know, what we're going through now, what we will go through in the future, is preparing us for a glorious future in God's kingdom. And so we must keep the kingdom of God always burning brightly in our minds. Verse 18, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen, the physical things, are temporary. But the things which are not seen, the spiritual, are eternal. True peace comes from God through His Holy Spirit. Because godly peace is spiritual in nature, it surpasses the understanding of human beings who only have a carnal mind to work with. God's Spirit in our mind opens up a whole new way of thinking. It opens up a whole new perspective in the fruit that we bear. Looking at the physical in a different way, because we realize that the physical just passing away. And we see that what we're going through now is but for a moment. It's a light affliction. It's temporary. And it's working towards something wonderful, something with an eternal purpose, because we're growing and we're developing the inner man, God's character. The peace of God surpasses human understanding because it is the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in us. So, brethren, are you afraid? Are you afraid of what the future holds? You shouldn't be. Read what the Bible says about the peace of God. A peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, there's so many more scriptures that we could have turned to, including a couple of obvious ones that I didn't hit this time. But let's turn to one final scripture in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 28 is an encouraging scripture, a memory scripture for a number of us. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now, that's you and I, brethren. We can have that peace of bold confidence, that peace of a sure knowledge that when our life is in the hands of God, everything works together for good. Again, either now or ultimately in the kingdom. And then verse 31, Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, brethren, do what you're able, and then stand still, pray to God, look to the things that are spiritual, that are not seen, and be ready to experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. God is standing by, ready to give us His peace.